Cyril Bonamy and the Great Drain Robbery, written by Jonathan Gathorn Hardy and read by Hugh Laurie.
Chapter 1. Cyril and the Beebles.
Oh, Cyril, I can see this is going to be the most wonderful holiday we've ever had, said Deirdre, squeezing some more suntan cream out of the tube. Why? Said Cyril irritably. They had only been at Nice in the south of France 3 days, and already his nose was bright red from sunburn. Deirdre had made a little tent of white paper for it, which she'd stuck on with elastoplast. It made Cyril feel ridiculous.
Look, darling, said Deirdre, you've been under that umbrella all morning. You must be boiling. Why don't you go and have a little swim? You'll feel better.
She reached out a loving hand to rub some more cream onto the plump white tummy of her husband lying beside her.
Oh, don't, said Cyril, squirming away. He already felt like some sort of meal because of all the suntan cream on him. But it was true, he did feel very hot.
He stood up, shoved his feet into his rope-soled shoes and stumped wearily towards the distant sea. Cyril parked his shoes neatly on the beach where the waves broke, and then nervously put one pink toe into the grey water. Although it was so hot that it was almost impossible to walk on the sand without shoes, the sea was surprisingly cold. It took him 10 minutes, wincing and gasping, before he finally managed to get in completely. For a while, it was quite pleasant. Cyril could only swim on his back, and what he really enjoyed was floating. But after a while, he noticed a piece of tomato skin in the sea beside him, and then another. Then he saw half a carrot and a whole lot of little pieces like mints. All at once, he realized the sea around him was completely filled with old food. He might as well have been floating in a stew. Cyril began to swim agitatedly for the shore. It wasn't just food. There were huge lumps of this and that, bits of uncurling paper, burst balloons, specks and flecks and fragments and blobs. Ugh, how revolting, thought Cyril, staggering over the pebbles and onto the sand again. Well, I hope I didn't swallow any of it. He seemed to have landed further down the shore because there was no sign of his shoes. Cyril walked 100 yards up the beach and then 200 yards back. His shoes had vanished. He chose a spot as nearly opposite Deirdre and their umbrella as he could, and said politely to a large, fat man lying on his back, "Excuse me, but have you seen my shoes?" The fat man sat up and turned out to be a fat woman, with very short black hair and sunglasses. She looked at Cyril and after a moment said, "Je ne parle pas anglais." Cyril smiled at her.
"Mon shoes," he said. Not ici. Avez-vous seen mon shoes?
Comment? Said the woman.
Le clogs, said Cyril, waving one of his feet at her. Le boots, ouais. Where are they? Le feet.
The fat woman took off her sunglasses and stared at him. Comment? She said again. Cyril drew a deep breath and did a little dance, pointing at his feet.
Le clogs, le clogs, le clogs, he cried.
And then, suddenly exhausted, he said, "Oh, forget it." He'd begun to feel his usual feeling of baffled annoyance that the French, after all these centuries, still didn't really understand their own language. The run back to Deirdre across the blazing hot sand was agony and caused some disturbance. Cyril had to jump for relief onto people's towels and clothes. Sometimes, by mistake, he jumped onto the people themselves. In his haste, a good deal of sand got kicked over them. They yelled at him in French and shook their fists at him.
"Was that nice, darling?" asked Deirdre as he collapsed panting under the umbrella. "No, it was not nice," gasped Cyril, trying to get back his breath. "It was frightful. Do you realize all the sewage of Nice empties into the sea here? It's disgusting!"
"You must try and keep your nose covered," said Deirdre, reaching into her bag. "It won't get better otherwise."